Phil is still, he's on vacation. He's on vacation on Sunday as well. I believe he'll be back by this weekend. David and Jessica are on vacation. They're on a trip up to Ohio. I don't think they'll be back until like Monday or so. Just remember all them in prayer. They'll be on the road traveling sometime this weekend or leading into it or after some of them. Amen. Let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, to be here tonight. And God, we come and we approach your word, Father, with all reverence. And we ask for you to come, Lord, to open it to us, Lord, break the bread of life, Lord. And I pray, Father, that you'll just speak to us tonight, Father. And we pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. We want to read tonight from 2 Corinthians chapter 7. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Receive us. We have wronged no man. We have corrupted no man. We have defrauded no man. I speak not this to condemn you, for I have said before that ye are in our hearts to die and live with you. Great is my boldness of speech toward you. Great is my glorifying of you. I am filled with comfort. I am exceedingly joyful in all our tribulation. For when we were coming to Macedonia, our flesh had no rest, but we were troubled on every side. Without were fightings, within were fears. Nevertheless, God that comforteth those that are cast down comforted us by the coming of Titus, and not by his coming only, but by the consolation wherewith he was comforted in you when he told us your earnest desire, your mourning, your fervent mind toward me, so that I rejoice the more. For though I made you sorry with a letter, I do not repent, though I did repent. For I perceive that the same epistle hath made you sorry, though it were but for a season. Now I rejoice, not that ye were made sorry, but that ye sorrowed to repentance. For ye were made sorry after a godly manner, that you might receive damage by us in nothing. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of. But the sorrow of the world worketh death. For behold, this selfsame thing that ye sorrowed after a godly sort, what carefulness it wrought in you, yea, what clearing of yourselves, yea, what indignation, yea, what fear, yea, what vehement desire, yea, what zeal, yea, what revenge. In all things ye have approved yourselves to be clear in this matter. Wherefore, though I wrote unto you, I did not for his cause that had done the wrong, nor for his cause that suffered the wrong, but that our care for you in the sight of God might appear unto you. Therefore we were comforted in your comfort, yea, and exceedingly the more joyed we were for the joy of Titus, because his spirit was refreshed by you all. For if I have boasted anything to him of you, I am not ashamed. But as we spake all things to you in truth, even so our boasting, which I made before Titus, is found a truth. And his inward affection is more abundant toward you, whilst he remembereth the obedience of you all, how with fear and trembling ye received him. I rejoice, therefore, that I have confidence in you in all things. Amen. You may be seated. Now, first of all, to address what is Paul really talking about in this particular letter. This letter is a letter that was sent to the Corinthian church. after the previous letter, which was the previous chapter. And if you remember in the previous chapter, Paul was actually bringing correction to the Corinthian church. And, you know, when you, Brother Branham actually preached a message called Corinthian, the Book of Corrections. And he talks about how Paul was constantly having to correct the Corinthian church. But when you realize the history, as we had covered last year when we first started on this, the history of the Corinthian church and where it was located and what these people that became the Christians there, what they were called out of, you know, to this, and yet then they were in the city of Corinth, which was a very evil city, and you realize as they were called out of the religious orders and things that they were members of to come to Christianity, you know, they still had contacts with a lot of different people, associates and friends that they had had before coming to Christianity. And this was one of the things that Paul was addressing, but also in the fact that not only did they have contact with these other, but as you read through the books of Corinthians, you find out that there were some that came in amongst them, in their midst, that as we have so, kind of sojourned with them for a while, they thought, well, they're one of us. Turned out they weren't, because they really weren't following the word of the Lord. And, you know, Paul then instructed them in the previous chapter that we read, said, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. And he said, for what fellowship have righteous with unrighteousness? What communion have light with darkness? And, you know, so Paul then goes on to say, come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. And so, and we brought out last Thursday how that Brother Branham addressing this about not be yoking yourself up with unbelievers. Brother Branham actually, in one place we read, he said, yoking yourself up with carnal believers. So what are carnal believers? It's people that, you know, they're professing to be believers, but they're of a carnal nature. They've never had an actual life change of the Holy Spirit in their life. They're not a new creature in Christ. They're a carnal believer, you know, and these carnal believers would be a lot like what Paul talked about the Jews in the time of Jesus, that they were trying to make their own righteousness by the keeping of the law and their do's and don'ts and the things that they did. And remember, you know, they in their acts, their everyday life, they certain things, they kept the law, they kept the commandments, they kept these things, you know, they practiced the religion of the Jews on a daily basis. And remember what Jesus said to me. He said, outwardly you're clean, but inwardly you're full of dead man's bones. And you find carnal believers, friends, look, they'll do, have a lot of the do's and don'ts in place, but you'll find that many of them, what they struggle with is they have bitterness toward people. They have they hold grudges. They constantly gossip and talk about this one and that one and all. They're carnal believers. They've never had a change. And what Brother Branham says, don't yoke yourself up with them. And of course, you know, Brother Branham goes on, and as Paul was saying, you know, of course we don't want to be yoked up with the world. But, you know, Paul, when you read through the book of Corinthians and actually even the book of Galatians, you find that Paul actually talks about these individuals. And we brought this out when we taught on this from when we taught on 1 Corinthians chapter 16 last year, how that Paul says, if any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema, maranatha. Let him be accursed. It simply means Anathema simply means withdraw, separate yourself from all who love not the Lord Jesus Christ, for the same Lord Jesus Christ is coming. So you say, well, a lot of people can say, and these are some of the things maybe I'll touch on Sunday as well, but a lot of people can say with their mouth, I love the Lord. But what is their life saying? And I found something here this evening. I was just looking for different things to see what Brother Branham said on different things, and I actually stumbled across this. None of the words that I'm going to read to you was words I had in my search to pull up. It was other words which were found in other places in this paragraph, but I caught this. And Brother Ram says, I always feel sorry for a dead man when they take him to the morgue. They put a whole lot of embalming fluid in him to keep him, be sure he's dead. Now watch how he takes this and he types this. He says, and that's the way you do when you join these unbelievers like that. They stick a needle in you and embalm you with their own theology to be sure you stay dead. Now, look, friends, we've said, as Jesus said, look, you know, look at what motives and objectives, you know. And with Satan, you know, he seeks to destroy. He seeks to tear down. He seeks to cause trouble. And that's what I draw from this. What Brother Branham says, they'll stick their needle in you and embalm you with their own theology. Of course, Brother Branham's talking about, you know, these churches and denominations and their man-made creeds and all this. But you know, Brother Branham says in one place, he says, you're a real sweet group right now, but Satan's not going to let you stay that way. If he's got to send somebody in amongst you and inject them full of poison so that what? They start, when they start, you know, talking about this one or talking about that one or pointing out like the serpent did Eve, surely you'll not die. You know, what was the serpent doing? He was like being critical of the pastor. Because Eve had received the word of God from her pastor, Adam. So well, the serpent was saying, he doesn't know exactly what he's talking about. Satan always wants to break down the confidence of the people in the ministry. Why? It's really not about the man. It's about trying to hinder the people from hearing the voice of God. So let's go back. This commandment that Paul gave, you know, he sends this letter to the Corinthian church, what we read last Thursday in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. He sends this letter to them to warn them, look, you need to separate yourselves from these unbelievers. You need to quit being yoked up with these carnal believers. Come out, separate yourself. You know, and I've said, you know, when I've talked about, and I actually said here recently, about individuals that have actually left out of the message. And, you know, it's not just like somebody who just, you know, backslides and leaves out of church or whatever. No, they stayed religious, but they actually come and made a stand against the message. They actually brought and said that the prophet that God sent was wrong. You know, they're trying to inject, as Brother Branham said, inject people with their theology about this. And that's why I've said, you know, some of them have made videos on YouTube. Some of them have wrote, you know, I guess you would call their dissertations online and all that. I don't want to read any of them, and I don't want to watch any of their videos. It isn't because I'm afraid of, you know, that they might convince me. No, look, friends, to me, let them be accursed. I don't want a thing to do with them. And I believe that this is what Paul was saying. You know, let them be accursed. Separate from them. Don't have a thing to do with them. Because what they want to do is they want to try to inject their poisonous thoughts into people with their videos and their writings. And then we brought out, you know, at different times, even last year, about, you know, look, we've got to be careful how Satan will try to send somebody right in our own church, right in amongst us. And he does it so sly. You know, and look, friends, Satan knows, you know, that how we are, we want to see people get right. We want to see people get saved. And we're always willing to give everybody a chance because we know God gave us a chance. If God hadn't given us a chance, we'd be lost. But I said, you know, watch that Satan try to slip somebody in, and with their mouth they're saying, I just want to come back to church. I just want to get right. I want to serve the Lord. I want to worship the Lord. But what all else are they saying? Now, look, the devil's real sly. These people, they won't come and actually try to inject their poison in every individual in the church. They look around to see who did they think it would work on. But to others, you know, others within the church, they're manipulative. They'll tell you what they think you want to hear so that you will be deceived and not see their true intentions. We've had individuals do that. They might not have said to all of you things against me, but or against this church or people within this church, but they have said it to certain individuals in the church. That's why, you know, some have come to me and said, you know, so-and-so keeps calling me and calling me and calling me on the phone. I said, well, just don't talk to them. Because every time you talk to them, all they got is a bunch of bad stuff and bad accusations and bad things to say. But then they call somebody else up in this church and say, well, I'd sure like to come back to church. Look, I'm not talking about, you know, some fictitious person here. This is something that actually took place last year. And friends, look, as the pastor of the church, when I seen what the devil was doing, then I've got to expose that spirit. Tried to cause, the spirit was on them, tried to cause me to react to them one time when I was walking out of the church. They stepped out. You know, if you know me, I usually walk down the center aisle when I'm leaving out of here. And when I get back to the back, Brother Jim always sticks up his hand to me and I shake his hand after every service. This individual was here. This was a little more than a year ago. When the services, they were here, instead of me walking down the middle, I walked down the side. But when I got back there to that last pew back there, they stepped out of their pew, walked across there, stuck out their hand, you know, to see if I'd shake their hand. I shook their hand. They said, I love you, Brother Jerry. I made no reply. Say, why? Well, I know they were lying. There's no way somebody could love me and say they love me and actually mean they love me when they've been on the phone talking to somebody else, running me down. That's a lie. But see, the devil, you know, he tried to see if he could make me make a display right there. No, I wasn't going to. It's like the time I told you about years ago, which has been probably, I don't know, probably about 26 years ago, Brother Tim Pruitt come up and preached at a church up in Ohio there where my dad was still living. And there was a brother that had been with us, actually started coming to the, not long after my dad had started that church up there. And he was with us right there at the beginning. And, you know, but he was constantly questioning every move the pastor made, always being critical, you know. And if there was a service, the pastor wasn't there, that particular service, he wanted to get up and say something to the people against the pastor. You know, and these things went on to a point, finally, he left. And he went to another message church, trying the same kind of stuff, you know. And finally, he had nowhere to go. So, you know, then he became even more religious. And so he starts writing letters and sending letters to people. And then he showed up for this particular service I was telling you about, that Brother Tim Pruitt come and preach, you know, and the brothers had already, even back then, got to where they were really watching this man, you know. And he went out and caught Brother Tim Pruitt, as Brother Tim Pruitt was, after he preached and was leaving out, and he said, "Brother, I want to pray for you." Well, you know, I think you'd be careful who gets to lay hands on you. But Brother Tim, you know, didn't really know him exactly, but he did pick up a little something, but he let him pray, you know. And afterwards, somebody, I can't remember who it was now, my brother, who it was, went back and talked to Brother Tim and told him, you know, about the man. And he said, "It's all right." He said, "I figured I needed the prayer and that man needed the practice," you know. But, you know, this, and it's hard to deal with things like this sometimes. Amen. But this commandment that Paul had gave in this letter that he sent to the Corinthians, you know, it was he closed out that letter with a promise. So there was a commandment: come out from among them, be separate, touch not the unclean thing. But then there was a promise given, because this was the Lord. He said, "Saith the Lord," what Paul said. And he said, "I will receive you and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." So there was a commandment in that letter, but then there was a promise that came with it. Now, Paul sent Titus to take that letter to the Corinthians, because Paul was in Macedonia. And so Paul sends this letter, which is the sixth chapter of 2 Corinthians. He sends that letter by Titus to the Corinthian church. And when Paul writes the letter, Paul realizes this is a hard letter. He realizes this, what I'm telling them, and that, and the strictness that I'm bringing, it's like hard preaching, very corrective. And it was very blunt. And Paul realized that, and that's why Paul says here in the seventh chapter, you know, he says, "Nevertheless, for I thought to make you sorry, for though I made you sorry with a letter, I do not repent, though I did repent." In other words, what Paul goes on to say, Paul said, after I first sent the letter, I got to thinking about that letter I sent you and just how gruff and forward it was and corrective and everything. And Paul said, "I actually felt kind of sorry about it." But then Titus, after he takes the letters to the Corinthian church, then Titus comes back to Paul later and he brings word to Paul. And that's what Paul's talking about here in the seventh chapter, is Titus coming back and bringing him word and saying, "Paul, they accepted that letter. They accepted your correction. And they come out and they separated themselves from those unbelievers that they were unequally yoked up with. And they've turned back to the trueness of the word."
They did what they accepted that letter and they lined up with it. And that's what Paul's talking about here, that Titus told him when he comes back with, you know. And so then Paul sends another letter to him, which is the 7th chapter here in 2 Corinthians. He said, Titus came back and gave me a good report. He gave me the good news. And you know what? When I realized that you had accepted that, even though that I at first was sorry about it because I knew it was so hard and gruff, he said, now I'm actually happy about it and I'm comforted. And he said, the thing is, I'm comforted because of your acceptance to the word. So it brought joy to me, Paul says. I was filled with joy with the glad tidings that Titus brought me concerning your acceptance of it. Brother Branham says, you know, Paul said, though I made you sorry with the letter, I do repent, though I do not repent, though I did repent. And I was looking up some things here, and in the message that Brother Branham preached, and he actually preached on this a few different times, in that, but this was in 1956, and he entitled it, The Handwriting on the Wall. And you remember him preaching on that subject a few different times, where he talked about how that, you know, a hand came down and wrote the writing that was on the wall. Remember that? And so there in the Old Testament, you know, the story there, and how that Brother Branham, then he brings this and he's saying the handwriting's on the wall now, you know, and Brother Branham was bringing a message to try to bring conviction to the people and get them to repent. And Brother Branham, you know, when you go through those messages that Brother Branham preached on this topic, Brother Branham was bringing it, and it was a real scouring out. It was many times a real scolding of things. And Brother Branham says here in this particular one, he says, he begins to pray, and he says, kind Heavenly Father, this at the end of the service, he says, kind Heavenly Father, rude, hard preaching of the word. But, oh, Father God, I'm so tired of listening to this little Hollywood baby-fied kid glove sermons that doesn't go down into the people's heart but kindly coats it over. God, we want old-fashioned repentance. We want men and women to rise and come to the Lord Jesus. God, we want to see this thing settled, for this will be the last time we'll ever be able to be mortal. Hard preaching. I'll tell you, friends, there's been times over the years, the experiences that I've had pastoring, that there's been times of different services, and I knew that there was things I was correction and things I was having to bring, you know. And sometimes, friends, look, like Brother Branham says about pastors, he says, you know, they live with the sheep. He says, and after what they live with them so much, a shepherd, he said, that they smell like the sheep. In other words, they really get to know the sheep. And there's times, friends, you know what the correction is about as a pastor. You know who the correction is for. There's other times when it comes to where, you know, it's things that you don't know what you know, and who and that, you know. But you realize that what you've got to bring, you know, it's going to be some hard preaching. It's going to be, as Brother Bam said, some rude, hard preaching of the word. And you know it. And I'll tell you, friends, you don't look forward to it. It isn't what you want to do. I often said to my wife, especially after I first came here, you know, and started preaching and that, I would go home and it's back when we lived over by the Morans. I'd go out there and sit on that porch, you know, right outside the door of the trailer there. And I'd sit there, friends, and there's times tears just roll down my eyes from how I had to preach. And I'd feel so terrible and bad about it and everything. And I'd tell my wife, you know, why can't, and this was just my terminology, I'd say, why can't I preach some of them Dan Daisley messages? You know, because, you know, my coming up into the, you know, into adulthood, Brother Dan would come by and preach, you know, friends, and you know, he was always preaching about things, you know, that were like, you know, look, we're human, we're flesh, we make mistakes, but that's what Jesus died for, you know, and things like that, you know, and it brought encouragement because it spoke to you, and you, because you know, Satan's constantly trying to accuse you anyway and point out all your faults to you, you know, and then you get somebody to come and preach and tell you, look, I know we got faults because we're in this flesh. But that doesn't mean you're lost. You've got to struggle with this flesh. You've just got to die to this flesh. It's something it's a daily thing. You know, and Satan wants to bring to your mind and say, well, because these things, you know, thoughts keep coming through your head or this, that, and it keeps happening, all that, you know, and try to make you feel like you just don't feel quite so religious. You don't feel quite so Christian at times. And then you have these messages come and say, hey, look, that ain't what it's about. Look at the desire that's in your heart. And I used to say, why can't I preach them messages? And eventually I got where I could. You know, the Lord began to let me preach them messages. But it was just, there was a lot of correction that needed to be put in place. A lot of things that needed to be. And friends, look, when I came here, first came here and that, I didn't know all your history and everything. The very first service that I preached here, I believe it was actually maybe the second service that I preached. It was on a Sunday night. And I preached, and there was things that was said and things I brought out, and I didn't know y'all from nobody. That was before I ever came here to pastor. That was just when I came here to visit and preach the first time. But the Lord knew. The Lord knew what everybody needed. Listen to what Brother Bam says here in Led by the Spirit. He quotes Psalms, you know, where David said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. The correction of the Lord, Brother Bam says, they comfort me. They let me know that God is with me because he corrects me from all my wrongs. Maybe he's trying to correct you tonight. Why don't you let the rod and staff comfort you? The rod is the hard preaching of the gospel, but it's a comfort to let you know that God speaks to you with that type of a gospel being preached to correct me. He loved me. He wants me to come walk with him now. He'll walk with me in that hour. You know, we brought this out years and years ago when we preached on actually this scripture there in Psalms. The rod, as Brother Bam says, the hard preaching, it's the correcting. But why does he call it the rod and the staff? It's the same stick. It wasn't, you know, the shepherd didn't have two different sticks. He had one stick. But David referred to it as a rod, but also a staff. When it was a rod, it was because it was being used to bring correction. But the same rod that was used to bring correction also was used to bring gentle guidance, bring comfort. And Brother Ram says, because what is it? It's the correcting of the word that the word of God brings. That should bring a comfort to us, knowing, look, God loves us. He cares about us, so he's going to correct us. And, you know, then you see then why Paul was writing here in the 7th chapter and saying, when it was told to me by Titus how you accepted that letter and how you lined up with it there and come out and separated yourselves and was on obedience to it, and that, it brought joy to me. And he said, I was having a hard time there in Macedonia. I was really struggling, he said, and being persecuted and having a really hard time. But when Titus brought me that news, it made me happy. Hallelujah. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight, Lord, for your word. Lord, the understanding of your word. And Lord, I thought about when they begin to translate all these writings and things, Lord, and begin to compile them into a book that we look
look at and call the Bible. And Lord, of course, they were translated all the writings of the prophets and so forth of the Old Testament, Lord, and of course the priests and the Jews and that, they had all those writings, Lord, when you came and walked here on the earth. But then, Lord, you called your disciples, and Lord, they, after your passing, Lord, they begin to, each of them, write their books, Lord, the Gospels that spoke of you and that, Lord. And then, God, then the book of Acts, and then, Lord, all the writings of Paul and the writings of Peter and of John and Jude, and then, Lord, the writings of John in the book of Revelations, Lord. And Lord, and then all these things were took. And I thought about all these letters, dear God, that Paul wrote to the churches, the different churches, the Corinthians and the Ephesians and the Romans and the Galatians and those in Thessalonica and all those, Lord. And these letters, how, Father, it had to be a work of God, Lord, that all these letters would have been saved and later been able to collect and be compiled and put together, Lord, so that we would have the Word of God that we have today. And Lord, that's why I look at these writings of Paul to the Corinthian church and as letters, dear God, to see, Lord, how he was communing with them and talking with them, Father, and the correction he brought, Lord, but also the encouragement, the uplifting. He told Titus, you know, he told him, I bragged on you to Titus. Father, he loved him, Lord. And Lord, we know you love us. And Lord, we ask now your blessings on the people, Lord. Be with them, Lord, the remainder part of this week and bring us back here again, Father, on Sunday. And I pray for those that are out of town yet, Father, and have to make their way back, Lord, either coming into this weekend or thereafter. Be with them, God. Bless them on their time and their vacation and their stays, Lord, and bring them back home safely, we pray. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.